hosts, Bran Flakes present Believe It or Not. Again, hosts, 40% Bran Flakes bring you Bob Ripley with more of his amazing Believe It or Not with B.A. Rolfe and his orchestra and lovely Linda Lee. Yes, sir, life is swell when you keep well. And say what a really swell cereal Post Bran Flakes are. So crunchy and what a wonderful nut-like flavor. And then those extra benefits, the benefits of Bran, so many of you may need to help you keep fit naturally. So why don't you join the millions who enjoy Post Bran Flakes every day for their delicious flavor, for their extra benefits. Yes, life is swell when you keep well. That notable nationwide nabob of non-stop, non-negatory, nerve-numbing, neck and neck naturals, Believe It or Not, Bob Ripley.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the program tonight.
Well, Bob Ripley, did I have luck this week?
You did?
Hundreds of listeners wrote me the answer to the problem, and they told me that the only foreign queen who ever became a citizen of the United States was Queen Liliuokalani Kalani of the Hawaiian Islands.
And that's correct, Linda, and you pronounced the name right, too. You know, for after the islands became an American territory in 1900, Queen Liliuokalani Kalani settled in Boston and became a naturalized American citizen, believe it or not. Yesterday, being July the 4th, I suppose that you all celebrated Independence Day. We have grown to consider July a sort of a vacation month when nothing happens, but history seems to have crowded into it more action than any other month. More nations celebrate independence during July than any other time of the year. Bulgaria, France, Yugoslavia, Romania, Belgium, Venezuela, Bolivia, Columbus, Ecuador, Chile, Argentina, and many other countries celebrate this month, too. And there's a remarkable, believe it or not, connected with one country, which I would like to sketch for you now. And this country is closest to us of all. The time is 1866, the place the Westminster Palace Hotel in London. In a private room, five distinguished-looking gentlemen are seated around a long table engaged in a heated argument.
I suggest we call our country the Auxiliary Kingdom of Great Britain.
No. I suggest the Confederation of Maritime Provinces.
No, that's not.
How about calling it the Assistant Empire of Great Britain?
No,
gentlemen, here we have a perfect example of what's been going on for a whole generation, fighting about a name. Here we are, representatives of five British colonies, all adjacent. Need I say, united we stand, divided we fall.
Very well, Sir Samuel. Have you any suggestions as to how we can find a name for our country?
I have. Ever since I was a child, I have drawn solace and wisdom from the word of God. It has never failed me.
I don't get your point, Sir Samuel.
Here, MacDonald. Take this Bible and open it at random.
All right. Now what, Sir Samuel?
You have opened the Bible to Psalm 72. Now, blindly, I will place my finger on this spot. Amazing. Astounding. Gentlemen, I will read it to you. It is verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Gentlemen, it's prophetic.
I don't quite follow you, Sir Samuel.
Don't you understand, gentlemen? From sea to sea. That's our country, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and from the river to the ends of the earth, meaning from the St. Lawrence to the North Pole. That's the most accurate geographical description of our country. Let's call it the Dominion.
The Dominion of what?
Mr. Cartier, your colony and mine, Upper and Lower Canada, will comprise three quarters of this newly united country of ours. I say, let's call it the Dominion of Canada.
Yes, gentlemen. Just as the Bible says, the Dominion of Canada.
And they did call it the Dominion of Canada as a result of the inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. And it was united by royal proclamation exactly 71 years ago this week. That name, which was found on the pages of the Bible, is still the official name of our great neighbor to the north, with whom we have lived in unbroken peace for more than 120 years, a neighborly peace record of all time. Believe it or not. For my second, believe it or not, let me take you back 110 years to the old town of Amsterdam, Holland. The year is 1828. One of the most famous of the banking establishments in the town is the House of Crommelin. Our scene opens in the office of the president of the bank, Daniel Crommelin, who is talking to a distinguished visitor.
Your Excellency, you would borrow $1,500,000. To build an important waterway in your country. But your credit...
Mynheer Crommelin, surely you found our credit sound.
I am sorry. The credit of your country does not justify the extension of so large a loan.
I'll tell you, Mynheer, that our young country has riches and wealth beyond computation. Its extent is tremendous.
I am sorry, but my associates and myself feel that such a loan would be unsafe.
Mynheer Crommelin, I will give you my personal endorsement on the note.
It is not enough.
The treasurer of our nation will endorse the note personally.
Not enough.
Then will you take the endorsement of our chief executive?
The endorsement of your chief executive? I will accept that.
Thank you, sir.
Providing you will give me the additional endorsement of a mortgage on your capital building and your chief executive's mansion. Then we will lend you the money.
The capital building? Chief executive's mansion? Mynheer, I have no choice but to accept your terms. For $1.5 million, we are literally mortgaging the entire government of the United States.
And it was these United States of America which obtained that loan under such humiliating conditions. Today, the United States is the richest nation the world has ever known. It has 70% of all the gold on earth, yet little over 100 years ago, we had to mortgage our capital and the White House and to give the personal endorsement of our president in order to borrow $1.5 million, the same amount our government now spends every 60 minutes, day and night. Believe it or not.
B.A. Rolfe and his orchestra play a medley of three tunes for our post-Brand Breaks audience. Chansonette, Moon of Manicura, and Sawmill River Rose. Things.
The moon of Manicura fills the night with magic, Polynesian charm. The moon of Manicura came in sight and brought you to my eager arms. The moon of Monocoro soon will rise again above the island shore. I'll behold it in dusky eyes, and you'll be in my arms once more.
Seconds outside the Miller home down on Rutledge Street. It's one of those swell July Saturday mornings, sky clear, sun warm and bright, and Mr. Miller's waiting at the wheel of the family car.
Come on, shake a leg. Let's get out in the country.
Okay, Pop. Can I go swimming?
Sure you can, son.
We're all here, Bill, and ready for a glorious day.
Okay, here we go.
Yes. There they go, the whole family bound for a swell time, a grand picnic outdoors. Everyone feeling great and agreeing, life is swell when you keep well. And friends, speaking of keeping well, you all know the benefits of Bran. Why, they may be just what you need to help keep you feeling swell, fit, really in trim. Well, post-Bran Flakes, eaten daily, bring you these important benefits of Bran in a most delicious form. Yes, in post-Bran Flakes, you get all the benefits of Bran, plus a wonderful flavor. A flavor that's different, so tempting and nut-like. You're sure to like delicious post-Bran Flakes. So start your breakfast with a bowl of post-Bran Flakes, the cereal that's more than a cereal. Enjoy these crunchy, toasted flakes every morning for the next month. Follow this happy, regular routine and see if you don't agree. Life is swell when you keep well.
Genius is the one human quality which scientists have never been able to explain or to control. Genius crops up from the most unlikely surroundings. To prove this, my next Believe It or Not sketch takes you back to the remote backwoods of Georgia. The time, 1928. As our scene opens, Willis Dysart, a motherless boy of five, has just awakened and come into the kitchen to greet his father.
What are you up so early for, Daddy?
Been up for hours, son. Been working on that deal old man Smith put over at the tobacco auction.
Daddy, I had a dream last night.
You did?
A dream about Mother. I went up to heaven and I saw her.
Now, boy, your mother's been up in heaven 3 months.
But, Daddy, she talked to me in my dream, and she told me I could add, subtract, and multiply.
Son, you ain't ever been to school. You can't even read or write.
But, Daddy, I tried, and I could figure.
And a miracle happened. That five-year-old boy, Willis Dysart, suddenly became a mathematical wizard. And tonight, I have him here in the studio as my guest. He is now 15 years old, and this is the first time that he's ever been outside of his hometown in Georgia. He has had less than 2 years of schooling. He can hardly read or write, yet he can work out the most intricate mathematical problems, rivaled only by an elaborate calculating machine. His method of figuring is a natural method, born in him like an instinct, and he's entirely different from all other calculators. I will now ask him to demonstrate his amazing gift to you. I present Willis Dysart.
Good evening, Mr. Ripley.
Now, Willis, I want you to show us how fast you can multiply. Ladies and gentlemen, we have in the studio one of the fastest electric calculating machines in the world, the Mathematon. An operator will multiply the figures with Willis, and the total will be checked in that way. Now, will two members of our audience give me a number? Please, anyone, we'd like to have some numbers. If anyone...
4,563.
Yes, now, will someone else give us a number, please? Anyone at all?
313.
What is that?
Beg your pardon, what was that number?
2,313.
All right, now, of course, you have both numbers. Now, Willis, multiply them.
10 million. 554,219.
All right, now I'll check with the electrical calculating machine. Mr. Operator, what is your total, please?
10,554,219.
That's absolutely correct. Now I'm going to ask Willis Dysart to try a very complicated problem, to extract a square root. That means he must get the number which multiplied by itself gives the number which I'm going to get from the audience now. I hope. Now, may I have the number, someone?
158,404.
Will you repeat that, please?
158,404.
All right, Willis, the square root of that, please.
398.
Hey, you finished way ahead of the machine, I must say. Hey, Mr. Operator, you got the answer yet?
The root is 398.
All right. That's fine, Willis. That's very good. Now, for the final and most difficult test of them all. To solve this one, Willis must make four distinct and extremely difficult mental operations. I will ask one of our audience to give us his birth date. And then Willis will take that birth date and tell you how many years, days, hours, and minutes have elapsed since that time. Now, will someone please...
August 9th, 1903.
What is that?
August 9th.
August
9th,
1903.
1903. All right. Now, Willis, will you please tell us how many years?
35 years.
35 years? How many days?
12,749.
How many hours have elapsed since that time?
305,976.
Now tell us, how many minutes have passed since this gentleman was born?
18,357,680.
And one more. Tell us, what day of the week? On what day of the week was he born?
Sunday.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Sunday, that's correct. And Willis, my congratulations to you. I am sure that you are the most amazing calculator in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, I've just presented Willis Dysart, a 15-year-old boy who never before has been out of the backwoods of Georgia where he was born. Yet he came here tonight and performed feats of mental calculation that mark him as a scientific miracle. With no schooling, barely able to read and write, he can do fantastic medical calculations which have baffled science, believe it or not. I've just presented one prodigy, and now I'd like to tell you about another one. The scene, a little church in Garden Grove, California. An evangelistic meeting is in progress when a tiny 2.5-year-old boy toddles up to the pulpit and the preacher speaks to him.
Ah, my child, have you too a word of God?
Yes, sir. I would like to give these good people a sermon.
Go right ahead, my little brother.
Brothers and sisters,
Let not thy heart be troubled, ye who have believed in God and also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
And that little boy did preach the gospel. Years passed by, and he grew to become a fully ordained minister, and he's here tonight to tell us the amazing story of his career. Ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend Charles James, Jr.
Good evening, Brother Ripley.
Good evening.
Well, excuse me for interrupting, Bob, but you said you were presenting the Reverend Charles James.
Excuse me for interrupting, Sister Lee, but the Reverend Charles James is I.
Oh, pardon me. Well, how old are you, Reverend?
I am 8 years old.
That's right, Linda. He's only 8 years old. Now tell us, Reverend, how old were you when you were ordained?
At that time, I'd attained the ripe age of 7 years, 3 months, and 20 days.
Gosh!
Mind your language, Sister Lee.
I suppose before that time, Reverend, you just sort of loafed around and took life easy.
On the contrary, Sister Lee, as I look back on those years of preparation for the ministry, I seem to recall long days crammed full of study. Mind you, it was hard work, but I enjoyed it.
Now, Reverend, tell us, what one experience in your long life do you consider the most outstanding? The most outstanding
one. It was the time I joined in holy wedlock two young, enthusiastic members of my congregation.
What?
To wit, one male and one female.
You mean you performed a marriage ceremony? Well, Reverend, tell us, what do you do for relaxation?
Well, to give you an example, I was pretty tired after that wedding I officiated at.
Yes?
So when I come home, I play the drum.
You did what?
Play the drum. Oh. I'm crazy about rhythm and swing music, but the only trouble was I made so much noise, my father was awakened and smote me severely in another region.
Oh, I see. Well, Reverend, I should think you should feel very happy that your life's career is settled at such an early age.
I'm afraid you don't understand.
What do you mean, Reverend?
When I grow up,
yes,
I want to be a G-man.
A G-man. Thank you. Thank you very much, Reverend Charles James. And may we wish you a long and brilliant and helpful career. Ladies and gentlemen, we have just presented the Reverend Charles James, Jr., who at the age of 8 is a fully ordained minister and yearly addresses hundreds of thousands of people who flock to see and hear him. Believe it or not.
B.A. Rolfe and his orchestra play a popular new song for our post-Brand Flakes audience entitled, I Want to Go Back to Bally. Okay, B.A.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Got what, Linda? Please tell me what it is.
Well, I've got a way to sum your story up.
Well, swell. Let's hurry up and go right ahead with it, then.
All right. In prose or rhyme, in every clime, the wise in happy chorus chime, this friendly dish has what it takes, a breakfast bowl of Post bran flakes.
Well, Linda, so much for the rhyme, and now for the reason, and here it is. Life is swell when you keep well. And friends, that's why it pays to treat yourself sensibly, live sensibly, eat sensibly. And when it comes to treating yourself, begin with that delicious cereal that's more than a cereal, Post bran flakes. You all know the benefits of bran, and Post bran flakes eaten every day bring you these benefits in the swellest tasting cereal ever. And here's something else. You know how much tasty bran muffins can add to any meal. Well, you'll find an easy-to-follow recipe for making just the grandest bran muffins in the world right on your package of Post bran flakes. They'll come out of the oven light and tender, chock full of flavor. So tomorrow morning, ask your grocer for Post bran flakes. Serve these crunchy golden brown flakes covered with delicious wholesome milk, one of nature's most healthful foods. And see if you don't agree that life is swell when you keep well.
Problem time, Bob, and how about an easy one this week?
An easy one? All right, Linda, answer me this. In what country in Europe is ruled by the hand of a mummy?
What country in Europe is ruled by the hand of a mummy?
Yes.
Ooh, Bob, you frighten me.
Well, that's a pretty hard one, Linda, but I suppose someone listening in will send you in the answer as usual. But if not, next Tuesday, Linda, next Tuesday, I'll tell you. With the most valuable signature of any human who ever lived was Button Gwinnett, signer of the Declaration of Independence. His autograph was sold for $51,000 to Dr. Rosenbach of Philadelphia. Now, I'd like to quote to you from the only letter known to exist which was written by Button Gwinnett. And it reads, I most heartily wish you success on your way and peace and liberty on a foundation never to be shaken.
Ford Bond saying, we all hope that you've enjoyed tonight's program and that you'll show your enjoyment by asking your grocer tomorrow for a package of Post bran flakes. This is the National Broadcasting Company.